Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you, as always. And you're going to be glad you're hanging out with me because we got Dr. Robert McTeer back on the show. He likes for us to call him Bob. He says his friends call him Bob, and we're his friends. Bob is a former member of the Fed, the Federal Reserve Organization. He was president of the Dallas Fed for many years. And he's also a member of the Federal Open Market Committee for many years. He's been a member of our Brain Trust for many years. We've been very grateful and fortunate to have him and have his wisdom and perspectives available to us over the years. And he is not with the Fed anymore. He's able to analyze them and to take a look at them and tell people what he thinks about what's going on. And also, he is a distinguished fellow with the NCPA, National Center for Policy Analysis, and he's our friend, Bob McTeer. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Good to be back.
It's good to have you back, Bob. Bob, what do you think about what's going on in – well, let me back up a second. In the previous hour, I talked to my audience about what's happening in Europe, the Greece issue, the bailing out of Greece, and all of that. And I've been trying to explain to America's small businesses, for example – the near term and the long term impact of that whole European Union scenario over there. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, first, I guess I should say it surprised me that Greece grew into as large a problem as it did.
Really?
We have a tendency to minimize these things because we don't know what all's going on. I remember when the subprime crisis started here, everybody thought that, well, you know, that's going to be a minor thing. We didn't know all the stuff we're learning reading the books now. On Greece, well, you know, their problem was they cheated to get into the European Union. They were supposed to have under 3% deficit relative to their GDP, and apparently they did some off-balance sheet type transactions that hit a lot of their deficit. And when the new government came in and sort of came clean with about 13% instead of 3%, and given Greece's reputation for having a very coddling welfare state with probably unsustainable benefits, then Greece was in trouble. But Greece is only 2.5-3% of the EU economy. That's why it's a little bit of a surprise. Problem is, Greece doesn't have its own central bank and its own currency. Mm-hmm. So it has no easy way out of... But the bad part of that is that they're in the same position as our states.
Yeah, exactly. Explain to the audience why that is.
Well, Greece has a central bank, the European Central Bank, ECB.
Right.
But it shares it along with... it shares the ECB and the currency... 15 other European nations.
Right.
And California shares the dollar and the Federal Reserve with 49 other states. If you have your own central bank and your own currency, you always have the option. It's not a nice thing to do, but of inflating out of your debt problems. But if you don't have those, you actually have to cut spending or raise revenue some way. And it got so drastic in Greece that... there was no way to do that without a good bit of pain.
So they were already, when they were allowed into the European Union, you know, every organization, as you said, every one of those countries were required to meet certain covenants so they didn't bring into somebody into the union that was already had a toxic
yeah.
situation.
As a matter of fact, they required that of themselves, too, before they
right.
set it up. They went through
right.
a multi-year period of getting their house in order.
Right.
And so Greece came in a little late, and I think by then officials were sort of winking and nodding and not taking those criteria as seriously as they were at first.
Well, exactly. And so now the chickens have come home to roost, as my grandmother would have said. And so how much of a cautionary tale is Greece for the rest of the EU, for Portugal and Spain and England and even Germany?
Well, it's I started to say it's a timely reminder, but it would have been better if it had been more timely.
Yeah.
That there's a limit to how much debt you can run up and service. And if
right.
people start losing confidence in your ability to do it, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So it's a reminder to everybody that they ought to come a little bit closer to living within their means.
Right. That's exactly right. And this is a cautionary tale for us here in the United States. Hold on to that thought, Bob. Quick break, folks. 10, 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Right back with Bob McTeer. Stay with us. Little Fleetwood Mac bringing us back. Welcome back, 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out. Use it to your advantage. We got lots of stuff there that will help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Bob McTeer is our guest, our good friend, longtime Brain Trust member, senior fellow distinguished fellow, at the National Center for Policy Analysis, ncpa.org. And Bob is here to talk to us about some of the global financial monetary issues that are going on, economic issues that are going on around this third rock from the sun. Bob, we were talking just now about the EU, and I appreciate your comment about how the different countries in Europe are really like states in America. They can't manage their own currency. You know, in the United States, the federal government can print more money if we need to, can't they?
That's right, and I neglected to mention that they really don't have a fiscal policy for the entire zone. They've sort of collectivized their monetary policy, but they did not do that with fiscal policy.
The fiscal would be the ability to raise money from the government.
What I'm thinking about now is the deficit or the surplus and trying to maneuver that to offset some of the other problems.
Right. On the other hand,
our states are probably better off because they haven't had one, and they've got most of them have these balance the budget requirements.
Right.
And they're all in trouble with that now, but they'd be in much worse trouble if they haven't had that in the past.
Is the euro experiment a fatally flawed one?
Well, they asked me to write an article for a new European magazine just as they were setting it up. And what I concluded was that the economic argument for the euro was fairly weak. An optimum currency area is an area within which you have a good bit of resource mobility and outside of which you don't. And that didn't quite fit them, so you ask, well, what's the motive? And it became fairly obvious that the euro was created so that France and Germany wouldn't go to war again.
Ah.
They would become so integrated with each other's economies and so intermeshed that they really would not be able to be enemies. And when Germany recently was dithering over whether to help Greece, the former prime minister that was largely the architect of the euro, who was quite old, came to his birthday party, and he gave a little lecture to the current government about what in the world are you doing? You know, how can you pretend Greece is not important? He was afraid that what was going on was going to undermine the institution that he helped build. And
he
acknowledged in his statement that the euro and the European Union was really designed to keep the peace politically.
Well, Bastiat, 160 years ago, Frederick Bastiat said, when goods cross borders, armies don't. And that's what you're talking about.
He's my favorite economist.
Mine too. After you, Bob. He's my favorite. hey Bob. Let's talk about inflation for a minute. You know, and some of the currency issues. And folks, these are all things. I know it sounds like this is a little bit in the weeds, a little bit far away from your small business, but these are things that you operate in a global economy, regardless of what you do, regardless of whether you recognize it. You operate in a global economy, and all these things have an impact on you. And I want you to have the access to these perspectives, Bob. Inflation is an important concern of mine in the future. I'm worried about that. The dollar seems to be the beneficiary of what's going on in Europe right now. And on CNBC today on Squawk Box, I heard Becky Quick say, she quoted you this morning, and she said, "Yeah, Bob McTeer was here on the show one time saying, I've forgotten which one of the saints have this prayer. You know, give me
Saint Augustine.
That's right. Give me your corruption of that was, yes, I want a stronger dollar, but not just yet."
Yeah, you deprived your audience of his beautiful original, though.
Well, go ahead.
It was on his view of chastity. He said, "Lord, make me chaste, but not just yet."
Now, so you said that they were quoting you. Give me a stronger dollar, but not just yet.
Yes.
The dollar, American dollar, as a reserve currency, was taking a hit a year or two ago. Now it's the shining star, isn't it?
Yeah, but ironically, the weakening euro is going to help Europe come out of its recession, and the strengthening dollar is not going to hurt us as much as the weakening euro helps them, because our dollar is mainly just rising against a couple of currencies. But at the margin, it'll hurt. Here's the deal, Jim, that people keep getting mixed up. In the short run, if you're in a recession and demand is the issue, a weak dollar or weak currency really helps you with that. It helps you.
That's one of the things that helped our manufacturing here, didn't it?
Yeah. But in the long run, if things return to normal, you know, a strong dollar is good because it helps hold down inflation and it keeps the exporters' feet to the fire to be productive. And people on TV are always trying to decide, you know, which is better, strong or weak. Well, each is better for its own circumstances, and that's pretty much true of the budget deficit too. Right now, if you could convert the budget deficit into a large surplus, you probably would want to wait a few months to do that because the economy is so fragile. It's a short run, long run thing.
Hold on to that thought. When we come back, I'm going to ask Bob if he's concerned about inflation in the near or midterm. After these messages, Tintel, stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.